In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we move into the summer months, our gospel readings take on themes of sowing and reaping, common and quotidian themes for most people, at least up until the mid-20th century. Although most of us are not farmers or planters ourselves, we can still connect with these themes. We can easily understand the need for planting, growth, maturity, readiness, and harvesting. It's a process that takes time, and it also takes careful tending for a full harvest. In Mark's gospel, there's always a great sense of urgency. I always feel like I'm being pulled or pushed along when reading Mark. It's the shortest of the gospels, yet Mark has a great deal to say, and Mark always wants to tell us quickly. In Mark, Jesus is preparing us for the coming kingdom of God. Jesus is telling us that God's kingdom is urgently at hand, and that we need to be ready to orient ourselves towards God, to pay attention, and to be ready to recognize signs of the kingdom of God and to respond to them in our midst. Today, Jesus tells us a little bit of what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus says the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise at night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. Jesus is saying that God's kingdom grows and changes in ways that we can observe, but not necessarily understand or control. It's a reminder that we don't do the growing. It's also saying that we are not responsible for the outcome, and we can take no credit for it. We can help in sowing seeds and watering and keeping weeds away, but ultimately growth is up to God. Jesus also says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, small and of little consequence at first, and then despite the small size of its seeds, becomes a huge shrub and becomes a haven for God's creatures. Jesus is telling us that our expectations of God's kingdom will be different from what actually yields, and that we just have to be okay with that reality. Our plans and expectations may seem wonderful, but God knows what is needed and what is best for us. So much of what we learn about life, we know best through the rearview mirror. When I look back over life and think about what I planned for myself, and then think about what actually happened, I'm amazed because the plans and expectations that I have for myself are never as good as what God designs. The same is true with God's kingdom. Jesus spends a lot of time talking about this urgent kingdom of God. So what God plans and does is always better than what we can ask or imagine for ourselves, usually because what yields isn't only good for me, but good for many. When you hear the term kingdom of God, what do you imagine? Is it a place? Is it in the future? Another way to translate kingdom here is rule or reign of God. So listen again. The reign of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The reign of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade. When we hear it this way, it takes us away from a distant future event and brings us into the present moment. Jesus doesn't tell us what God's reign will be like. He tells us how it is here and now. He doesn't tell us what the reign of God will be like. He tells us what it is like because it's happening all around us. And while we are called by God to sow seeds and harvest, God alone is responsible for the yield and for the growth. It is about faith in God being God. Faith is trusting that in God things will turn out right even when we are not in control. Faith is in part letting go of our control over the results, and that can be really hard. We don't necessarily want to be in control for the credit, but often we want to be in control in order to manage growth, and that is our challenge. We live in a world where we fear losing control or letting someone else control our fate. We have been taught that in order to be successful, we must have a goal. Like Yogi Berra says, if you don't know where you're going, you might end up someplace else. However, Jesus teaches us that the reign of God works totally different from what we expect and know to be obvious. Jesus helps us to realize that in God's reign, the work of grace and mercy and compassion for the world doesn't jive with human nature, and that's why it's needed most. It can be most frustrating to those of us who don't like to wait and those who like to be in control. But at the same time, it's reassuring and freeing to know that in God's eyes, success is not judged by the size of the harvest, but by our faithfulness in sowing seeds. In the process of growth and maturity, we learn to recognize the signs of God's reign. We recognize these signs in the places where the harvest grows the fullest. We know those signs as they manifest in mercy and compassion. We know them in justice and peace. We recognize them in beauty and truth. We know them in charity and in love. These are the places where the reign of God grows the fullest. We don't fool ourselves either that everything around us desires the reign of God to come near and flourish. There are forces at work that seek to stunt and cut short the harvest, forces at work that seek to destroy and devastate. These are the seeds of malice and hate, of selfishness and evil, seeds of profanity and protectionism, seeds of not caring. There's a lot in our news feeds these days that makes it look like the reign of God is not prevailing. When immigrants fleeing their homes for a better life are having their children ripped away from their arms at the borders and then detained in inhumane conditions, this is an act of violence. It is working in direct opposition to the loving and faithful purposes of God, and this kind of evil must be uprooted and destroyed. Signs of the reign of God are all around us. Would we but only begin to name them and share them and point them out? The signs are usually simple and ordinary. They are small acts of kindness, anonymous acts of charity, lending a hand, providing someone with their daily bread. No matter what the signs of the reign of God are, they all have something in common. They are rooted in God's love, and they seek the good of others. In our reading from 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. In Christ, we are made a new creation. And our new purpose as new creatures is not to live for ourselves alone, but for Christ who died and rose for all, that we all might be one and build each other up. The old selfishness and hatred, the old self-doubt and shame, the old bitterness and coldness, those things have passed away. And God's reign has planted within our hearts markers of Jesus' mercy, justice, peace, and love to sustain us in this world in order to root out the old. Even though evil and malice and complacency will try to grow in our hearts, God's reign won't be manipulated. God's faithful and loving purposes will continue to be worked out through us or in spite of us, and that is the joy of God's harvest. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.